I said, praise the Lord. I pray the Lord will grant us a heart of love. Amen. The language of love. Relationship of love. And the power of love will manifest in every life in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today for the Bible study. We thank you because we know your spirit is present here with us. And we're asking, Lord, you open our eyes, open our heart, open our inner man to your word in Jesus' name. We're asking, O Lord, that the language of our lives, the language of our relationship, and the language of our expressing ourselves unto you and to the brethren will be the language of love in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that your word will profit everyone today. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Tonight, we're coming to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been taking bits of the gifts of the Spirit. And we've been looking at the general exposition as well as the specific exposition so that everybody will have benefit of what we're learning. Today, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I read verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Then in verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Then in verse 10, it tells us, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. In verse 11, it concludes this section by saying, but all these, the manifestation, the operation, the administration of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit, all of them, all these worketh one, that one, and the same self-spirit, dividing to every man, to you, and to me, to everyone, severally, as he will. Tonight, we're considering the message, the understanding and usefulness of the declarative gifts. To declare, the gifts that declare, the gift of prophecy, declaring the mind of God, declaring the immediate word of God to God's people, and then the diverse kinds of tongues, bringing a message from heaven in another language that the speaker had not learned earlier, but supernaturally given unto him. And then, because the people will not understand the diverse kinds of tongues, they will not understand what God is saying, we have the interpretation of the word of the message that has been spoken in an unknown language. Those are declarative gifts, but then we also have the discerning of spirits. That when somebody is speaking, we know whether he's speaking by the Spirit of God or he's speaking by another spirit, because we understand there is the Holy Spirit, there is the human spirit, there is the evil spirit. And whatever we say comes out of our spirit and comes out of our heart. And so when somebody is talking, whether he's saying something that appears apparently all right, apparently truthful, apparently plain, we still need to know whether the source of that speaking, that utterance, is from the Holy Spirit of a human spirit or an evil spirit. Tonight, I pray the Lord will give every one of us understanding in Jesus' name. Three things we're considering under this topic. Number one, the great importance of the discerning gift. Number two, the guiding instruction through the declarative gift. And then number three, the gracious inspiration in the double gift. The double gift in the different kinds of tongues with the interpretation. They ought to go together. That's why it's referred to as the double gift of the tongues and interpretation. Let's come to number one, the great importance of the discerning gift. Already we have read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, there is the discerning of spirits. You'll find the word spirit there in the plural, because it could be spirit coming from above or spirit coming from below. Whatever the spirit, we have the discernment, we have the understanding, and we have the knowledge from where that is coming from. The great importance of the discerning gift. Three things. Number one, proper perception of the discerning of spirits. Number two, preventive purpose of the discerning of spirits. And then number three, perpetual protection by discerning the spirits. Let's come to number one. That's the proper perception of the discerning of spirits. As we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see the manifestation and the expression and the understanding of the discerning of spirits. In 1 Kings chapter 22, reading from verse 15, Ahab was to go to battle, and he invited Jehoshaphat, that Jehoshaphat will go with him. And then the prophets began to speak. Understand, Jehoshaphat was a stranger there, but Ahab knew those prophets. Look at it in your Bible, in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 15. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. You know, when somebody is speaking to you, you can tell from the tone, you can tell from the intonation. Should I go? Go. Then you will see what will happen. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, and the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Now in verse 17, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered abroad, scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. And then in verse 18, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? This is a man that said, tell me the truth. How many times will I tell you that you don't tell me anything but the truth? Now the prophet brought out the message and said, actually, the people are going to be scattered because they have no shepherd. The king, their shepherd, will be killed. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. In verse 20, it says, and the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And then in verse 21, and there came forth a spirit, there came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. In verse 22, it says, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? How will you persuade him? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, prevail, and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Already you get that part of the story. What the story is telling us is that all those prophets that were speaking, and they were encouraging Ahab, go and the Lord will deliver it into your hand. Actually, he did not discern, he did not understand that this was an evil spirit in the mouth of all those prophets, persuading him, convincing him that he should go and destroy himself. When people speak in prophecy, or they speak in what they call counseling, or they speak in what they call advice, if you don't discern and know the spirit behind the advice, the counsel, or the prophecy, you might just be like Ahab. And then Ahab said, put this man in hold until I come back. And then Micah said, if you come back, then the Lord has not spoken through me. In the Old Testament, there was that discerning of spirits. You remember 2 Kings chapter 6? There's the time that the Assyrians sent chariots against Elisha. And then the king of Assyria said, go and catch him. 2 Kings chapter 6, reading from verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we deal? Look at verse 16. Here is the discerning of spirits now. Not only bad spirit, but good spirit that God had sent from heaven to protect the man of God and his servant. In verse 16, he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I pray that when you get into any situation like that, and you will understand that the angels of God are surrounding you, that the greater one, they come to protect you, and no harm will come upon your life in Jesus' name. Okay, no harm will come upon my life in Jesus' name. The Lord protect and preserve your life in Jesus' name. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That's the discerning of spirit. He knew that the good spirits, the gracious spirits, the mighty, powerful spirits from God had come to protect him. And because of that, there was no fear. When you have the gift of the discerning of spirits, and you know whether it's the Holy Spirit or the human spirit or the evil spirit that is operating in a situation, it gives you confidence, it gives you boldness and fearlessness, and you will know that your life is protected and preserved until you finish the assignment the Lord has given you. Let's look at Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, here is the New Testament evidence and the New Testament example of having the discerning of spirits. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed of a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. In verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Wasn't that a good message? And wasn't that a good expression of even respecting and honoring the men of God? And the lady spoke and said, look at these men. They're not like everybody. These men are the very servants of the Most High God, and they show unto us the way of salvation. If you didn't have the discerning of spirit, you might say, so there are born again people here already, and this one ought to be a worker. She's not even ashamed, and she's not shy. Openly is declaring that we are the servants of God. But you know, Paul the apostle, he had the gifts of the spirit. And included in the gifts he had the discerning of spirits. Look at verse 18. And this she did many days, but Paul being grieved, look at that. When the Holy Spirit is speaking to a saint of God, to a servant of God, there'll be no grief. There'll be no sadness. The Holy Spirit did not support what the damsel was saying. And so Paul the apostle was grieved in his own heart. And he turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Now, the servant of God cannot drive out the Holy Spirit from the heart of anybody. And if the Spirit comes out, it's an evidence that's not the Holy Spirit. And it cannot drive out the human spirit. Once the Spirit departs from the body, the fellow is dead. So it cannot drive out Holy Spirit. It cannot drive out human spirit. The only spirit it can drive out is the evil spirit. And it says, and it came out the same hour. You understand? The discerning of spirit went along with the power and the faith of working miracles, and that evil spirit was cast out. Any evil spirit trying to torment or trying to infiltrate anyone here, anyone over there, all those who are listening, that evil spirit, come out in Jesus' name. Let's look at number two here. Number two is the preventive purpose of the discerning of spirits. Preventive purpose of discerning the spirits. We're going to look at something here. We're going to compare two verses of scripture. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 24, and we're reading from verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. It says, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. He moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Look at that language. He moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. That he, David, did not know. He did not know the power or the spirit behind the he. Let's look now at 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Reading from verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, reading from verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. You see, David did not understand. He just had a stirring up and a moving, and he had a push to say, this is what to do. And he did not know it was the spirit of Satan. Actually, you understand, David being a man of God and David being a king appointed by God, if he knew it was Satan, he wouldn't have done what he did. But in 2 Samuel 24, it says he provoked him to do that. Over here now is very clear that it was the spirit of Satan that stood up against Israel. And it was the spirit of Satan that provoked David to number Israel. You know what happened? Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer thee three things, choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. Eventually judgment came. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, it says, so the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Just because David did not discern that the push and the provocation and the instigation and the drive was of Satan. Because of that, 70,000 men lost their lives. You know, in the events of our lives, if we don't know what is pushing us, what is provoking us, what is stirring us up, if we do not have the discerning of spirits, and the Lord is not telling us, that's not of me, a lot of lives can be lost. Look at now in Acts chapter 5, we're reading from verse 3. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? People were coming to make contribution, and they were putting the money at the apostles' feet. And here came Ananias, and he brought his own. But you know the story, he brought only part of the price. And then he was pretending, acting as if that is everything. You know, if Peter the apostle did not discern the spirit behind the action, he will lift Ananias up. Ananias will be at the same level as Barnabas or Barnabas, the people that had brought everything. There will be deception. And in that early part of the church, early century of the church, if that deception went through, then the church will not have the transparent message of truth they have given unto us. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11, it says, we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. When you have the gift that will perceive, the gift that will penetrate, and the gift that will discover and discern that this is not of God, then your life is protected, the ministry is protected. Look at number three here. Number three, perpetual protection by discerning the spirits. It's relevant today. In fact, we are told in 1 John chapter 4, reading from verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, reading from verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. There are people who are simple-minded, and the simplicity of mind makes them to be gullible, and it makes Satan and evil spirits to impose on them things that are not true, and things that will not help them, and things that might destroy them. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God. That's the discerning of spirits. Try them. Don't just jump at whatever revelation they give, and don't just jump at whatever utterance they make. It says, try the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It tells us in verse 3, it says in verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist. This is that spirit of Antichrist. When Christ has given you instruction, and when Christ has given you revelation, and he says, this is the way to go, and then somebody now is saying that he's talking and he's speaking by the Spirit, and what he is speaking by the Spirit is contrary to what Christ has said, is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereby or whereof we have heard that it shall come. And even now, at the time of John the Beloved, even now in the first century, even now until this time, even now already is it in the world. That's the reason why you want to have real understanding and discerning of spirit, so that you will not be deceived and your life will not be destroyed. You will not be destroyed in Jesus' name. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's the time in which we're living now, very near to the coming of the Lord, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. And then in verse 2, it tells us, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What it means is those people who speak like that, they may even know that they have seducing spirits that will seduce you into error, that will seduce you into transgression, that will seduce you into believing a lie. But even though they know that they have seducing spirit, not the Holy Spirit, and the seducing spirit is directing them to say what they are saying, their conscience is seared with a hot iron. And when somebody else is destroyed because of following what they had said, they don't feel anything at all that they have contributed to the destruction or the fall or the backsliding of another person, because they have a conscience seared with a hot iron. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 8, reading from verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord had given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Amen. Verse 20 here, in verse 20 it says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, any spirit talking, any spirit making revelation, any spirit trying to expound the word of God, explain the word of God, any spirit trying to direct and trying to counsel and trying to reveal anything to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It's the spirit of darkness if they do not speak according to the scriptures and according to the word of God. There's no light in them. We come to number 2 now. We've dealt with the discerning of spirits. We're now dealing with the next one. Number 2, the guiding instruction through the declarative gift. The guiding instruction through the declarative gift. We're coming to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're reading from verse 10. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another prophecy. There are three things we're looking at here. Number 1, the inspired prophecy by the Spirit. A prophecy, something that had not occurred or happened yet, but that will happen. And then the Spirit of God, you understand, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are one. As the Father is eternal, the Son and the Holy Spirit also eternal. As the Father knows all things, and he knows the end from the beginning, so the Son and the Spirit also know all things, and they know the end from the beginning. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of prophecy. It declares to us what has not happened yet, but there is certainty that it will happen, because it's the Holy Spirit that knows all things. The guiding instruction through the declarative Spirit. Three things. Number one, the inspired prophecy by the Spirit. Number two, the infallible prophecy of the Scriptures. Number three, the instructive prophecy by his servants. Let's come to number one. Number one is the inspired prophecy by the Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 17. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out my Spirit. The desire of God, the promise of God, is that everyone that comes into the kingdom saved will also become sanctified and will also have the outpouring and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You see that he has that for every member of the body of Christ, every child of God. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. He wants us not to live in ignorance and not to live in darkness. He wants us to so have the revelatory Spirit that reveals to us things that are relevant to our progress, things that are relevant to our lives. They shall prophesy. But now, many people do not understand the extent, the depth, and the height, and the ramifications of prophecy in the New Testament. Let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that she may prophesy. Now, what does that mean? He explains to us in verse 3. Look at verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men. How? Number one, to edify, to edification. Number two, to exhort, to exhortation. And number three, to comfort, to counsel. And so prophecy in the New Testament is not like prophecy in the Old Testament. Here, the prophecy is to exhort and to edify and to comfort. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, but if all prophesy, and they come in one, there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. It says, when there's New Testament prophecy, which is to exhortation and edification and comfort, there comes in somebody who is not a member, somebody is not enlightened, and then he hears the proclamation of the prophecy. It will come to convict him of his life. It will come to judge of things that are wrong in his life. And then look at the result in verse 25. It says in verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. That's New Testament prophecy. And the effect and the result is so falling down on his face. He will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Look at 2 Peter now, chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. You know, Peter the apostle is saying, we've heard, we've known of the prophecies of the old covenant, the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets. It says, but we, in the New Testament era, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. It will call you to exhortation. It will call you to edification. It will call you to counsel and comfort. And the New Testament prophecy that exhorts, that edifies, that comforts, that counsel, you take heed that you obey so that you'll do well as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. What that means is that when you are walking through a dark valley and you don't understand what you are going through, then the word of New Testament prophecy comes forth. It shines light, the light of revelation, across your pathway, and then the day star will arise in your hearts. Let's come to number two there. Number two, the infallible prophecy of the scriptures. Now, we know that the scripture has been given to us, and we have it from Genesis all through to Revelation. Everything is referred to as the scriptures, and all the prophecies there, if you read in Genesis, you'll see the prophecy that God gave to Abraham. If you read in Exodus, you read the prophecy that God gave to Moses. And then as you go on to Malachi, you'll see the prophecy that God gave the major prophets and the minor prophets. As you come to the New Testament, you see the prophecy that Jesus uttered and the prophecy that the apostles Peter, John, and Paul, all of them that they uttered. Everything has been put together in the Holy Bible. And all those prophecies and the proclamations of God, they are the scriptures. Now, that scripture, that Bible, is superior to any other prophecy you can hear anywhere, because the prophecy of the scriptures is infallible. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're reading from verse 16. All scripture, Old and New Testament, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It's telling us we don't build doctrine by the prophecy, the gift of prophecy, that a brother may rise up and declare something. Maybe it's good, maybe it's right, but we don't develop doctrine from all those prophecies. Somebody said he saw something and then he's sending it out everywhere. We don't develop doctrine on the basis of whatever anybody, no matter who the person is, has said. This came to me, this one was revealed to me, I have the gift of prophecy. Maybe he has, but we only develop doctrine on the basis of the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Then in verse 17, it says that the man of God, the child of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you really want to be engaged and you want to be busy in all the work of God, you'll go back to the scriptures. You'll not be going back to somebody, prophesy for me. Speak a word into my life. I don't know what I'm going to do now. The whole scripture is there. All those 66 books of the Bible, they are there. They will not read and just speak a word to my life. Speak a word to my life. And if that person is forced to say something, then he says something. He says, praise the Lord, I got it. You should have got the scripture. If you're going to be perfected, if the Lord is going to make you do all that he has ordained for your life, it is based on the scripture that is infallible, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Look at John chapter 10, verse 35. John chapter 10, verse 35. If ye call them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. All the prophecies that anybody may utter, saying they have the gift of prophecy, they're temporal and they're temporary. They're just for the time being. But this is scripture that is true from cover to cover. And it says the scripture cannot be broken. It tells us in Luke chapter 24, reading from verse 44. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Look at this now, that all things must be fulfilled. All things must be fulfilled, which were reaching, the reaching word, that's the scripture, and the prophecy of the reaching word must be fulfilled. It says that were reaching in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Acts chapter 1, reading from verse 16. Acts chapter 1, reading from verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. Any part of the Bible you read, any part of the scriptures you read, Old Testament, New Testament, historic part of the poem of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, anywhere, everywhere, or in the prophets, major prophet, minor prophet, or you come to the Gospels, or you come to Acts, or you come to the Epistles and to Revelation, you must understand this scripture. Whatever scripture you are reading, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. It's infallible. And I pray that the infallible word will take root in every life in Jesus' name. Number three now. Number three, the instructive prophecy by his servants. The Lord has said he'll pour out of his spirit. And when he pours out his spirit, then he says the men, the women, the sons, and the daughters, it says they shall prophesy. And when they prophesy like that, by the Spirit of God, it will give us instruction. It will give us edification. It will give us comfort. All the confusion in our lives and all the trauma in our lives, everything will be swept away by the instructive prophecy of his servants. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, reading from verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. That means that instructive word will edify your life, will edify and make a positive contribution to the progress of your life. An exhortation and comfort tells us in Jeremiah chapter 7, reading from verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. See the ministry of the prophet, and see how they declared the prophecy of the Lord, how they gave instruction, and how they gave the way that we ought to live by the prophecy the Lord has given to his servants. It says in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you, that it may be well with you. When the prophet spoke, and if any prophet is speaking today, it will still be calling us to obedience to the voice of the Lord, and that we'll walk in the way of the Lord, and then it will be well with us. In verse 24, it says in verse 24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but they walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. In verse 25, it says, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even said unto you, all my servants the prophets, all my servants the prophets, daily rising early and sending them. And what were they declaring? They were calling the people to obedience to the word of God. Acts chapter 3, reading from verse 22. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. That's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the final word, is the final prophet, is the final revelation of God to humanity. And if you read anything in the old covenant, whether it's written by Moses or Joshua or Elijah or Elisha or David or Solomon, if you don't understand, find out, what has Jesus said on that subject? Whatever Jesus has said is the final revelation, is the final authority. Because the Lord himself said, I'll raise him up, and I will put my word in his mouth, and ye shall hear him in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now, if a present day prophet utters anything, either in the news and or in the media, and that thing is different from what Christ has said, a vision, a dream, a trance, a prophetic utterance, he's been fasting for 21 or 40 days, and now he comes out and he says, here is a revelation of prophecy. Back to the law and to the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. It doesn't matter how many days they fasted. When they said they got that vision or dream or revelation or utterance, Jesus is the final revelation, and the final word is in his mouth. It says, ye shall hear him in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet, that's the final prophet, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone, every soul, whatever his stature, whatever his position in any country, anyone that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Let's come to point number three. Point number three, the gracious inspiration in the double gift. The gracious inspiration in the double gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, now to another diverse kinds of tongues, one, to another interpretation of tongues, two. That's the double gift. This, we divide this to three parts. Number one, the dual gifts of tongues and interpretation. Number two, the divine guidance for truthfulness of interpretation. When you've heard something, either in the normal language or in unknown language, and you do not understand, then you need an interpretation. And when you have that interpretation, we must understand if that interpretation is true. It will be coming from the divine guidance that leads us into the truthfulness of interpretation. Number three, the definite greatness of the treasure of interpretation. The definite greatness of the treasure of interpretation. Let's look at number one, the dual gifts of tongues and interpretation. Already we know what he has said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Now we come to Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the inspiration of the Spirit of God. The Spirit gave them utterance. But understand, it was a real language. It wasn't their own language, but a real language. It wasn't just one syllable all through, and it wasn't just a barbaric scene anybody was saying that nobody could understand anywhere. There were different kinds of tongues, of languages that the Lord by the Spirit gave them. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. In verse 6, it says, now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man, remember, they came from various nations, diverse kinds of nations, and yet every man had them speak in his own language. They were glorifying God. They were magnifying the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Now Peter did not talk about speaking in tongues. Peter did not tell them about the day of Pentecost and how they spoke in tongues. And Peter did not tell them in his preaching, this is how to speak in tongues. And then Peter will demonstrate and then tell them, don't speak your language. Just say after me and say it faster, faster. And then eventually you'll get into your own tongue. Not at all. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. In verse 45, it says, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Poured out, we pour, it's poured from heaven. And once heaven knows you're saved, heaven knows you're sanctified and holy, heaven knows you're a candidate for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, he does that from heaven. And the result, look at verse 46, it says, for they heard them speak with tongues, and they magnify God. They magnified God. In the speaking of tongues, they exalted God. They magnified God. And even though they themselves did not understand the language they were speaking, all that had them knew the interpretation that they were speaking to the glory of God, to the exaltation of God, and they were magnifying the Lord. In verse 47, it says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Those people received the Holy Ghost in the same way that the apostles had received the Holy Ghost, because that's the promise that God had given. In those days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and they will prophesy, and they will see visions, and they will have dreams. Then in verse 48, it tells us, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Why? They wanted to hear more of the word of God. There are people that tell us that they speak in tongues, speak in tongues, speak in tongues. The only problem with them, such people, they're not interested in hearing the word of God. All they're interested in is rattling out in tongues. But these people in the house of Cornelius, after they spoke in tongues, they were baptized in water, and Peter was about to leave. They said, no, you cannot leave now. We want to hear more of the word of God. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 14, verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. You speak in an unknown tongue, you should not rest satisfied in that. Pray that you will interpret. Why? Because you need to know the truthfulness of interpretation of the kinds of tongues you're speaking. That brings us to number two. Number two is the divine guidance for the truthfulness of interpretation. Divine guidance to the truthfulness of interpretation. Now, we need interpretation. God reveals something, even in our language, even in plain language, and yet we don't understand. And there is truth that is hidden in that revelation of God. We need the truthfulness of the interpretation. Let's have some few examples. Number one, in Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, we're looking at verse 15. Here Pharaoh had seen something in the dream. You know the story already. 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And the revelation from God had something truthful and something important, not only for Pharaoh, not only for his family, but for the whole nation, even beyond the nation of Egypt. And now in verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. We need interpretation. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. There are things that happen in our lives. We need interpretation. There are situations that occur in our lives. We need interpretation. It's not only tongues. If there's an event, if there's a situation, if there is a crossroad, if there is something you are going through and you don't understand, it's like unknown tongue. And you need the truthfulness of the interpretation. But here Joseph said, it's not in me. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Well, the interpretation came, and it prevented famine for the whole of the nation. Look at Daniel chapter 2, reading from verse 22. Nebuchadnezzar had had a dream. For him, it was like a knot tied that nobody could unravel, that nobody could explain. It's like tongues, unknown tongue. You are speaking English and somebody is speaking Chinese, you do not understand. You need an interpretation, or you have a revelation and you do not know the import, and you do not know the reason, and you do not know the thing signified by that revelation. It's like another language, and you need an interpretation for that. And it is the divine spirit of God that guides us into the interpretation of all events in our lives. It says in Daniel chapter 2 verse 22, and he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Verse 23. In verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. The king's matter. He needed interpretation. Eventually, the interpretation came. It was an event unknown. It was a prophetic future unknown. When you read the whole of the chapter, you will understand that God was talking to Nebuchadnezzar about the King of Kings, about the Lord of Lords, and about the everlasting eternal dominion of the very Son of God. But he couldn't understand, and an interpreter came and made him to have the interpretation. Daniel chapter 5 verse 17. In Daniel chapter 5 verse 17, here we have Belshazzar. Belshazzar saw the writing on the wall. The writing in a language he did not understand. The revelation of the writing on the wall, he knew the writing was there and he could see the spelling of the writing, but he did not know what kind of language is this. And what interpretation do I give to this? And he was so perplexed, he wanted interpretation by all means. And then Daniel came, because Daniel had divine guidance, for the truthfulness of the interpretation. Daniel chapter 5, verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will reach the writing that others could not reach, unknown language written on the wall. I will reach the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. I want to remind you once again, many things happen in our lives we don't understand. Many events take place in our lives we don't understand. And yet, the Spirit of God has perfect understanding of everything that happens. And when we're guided by the divine Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then the truthfulness of the interpretation is given unto us, and then we're able to know the way to go and the way to plan our lives. Look at verse 24 of that Daniel chapter 5. Then was the patch of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Verse 25, it says, this is the writing that was written. Many, many tekel euphrasin. In verse 26, it says, this is the interpretation of the scene. You understand? Unknown tongue, unknown language, unknown revelation. And Daniel now came and made each known unto him. He read it out in that unknown tongue, and now he gave the interpretation. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. In verse 27, tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Nobody could have told him that. He didn't know that. He gathered thousands of concubines together, and all his princes and counselors together, and they were drinking, and they were praising the God of iron, the God of wood. He thought he was on top of the world, and yet danger, doom, damnation, destruction was very near. Take hail, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. And then in verse 28, it says, Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. In verse 30, it says, in verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And then the government turned into the hands of the Medes and the Persians. We'll come to number three now. Number three, the definite greatness of the treasure of interpretation. You see, in our lives, interpretation is a treasure. You're reading the Bible, you don't understand. Interpretation is a treasure. You're going through affliction, you're going through difficulties and danger, and you don't know where you're going to turn, and somebody comes and he has interpretation of what is happening to you by the word of God, and you're able to come out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord. That's a treasure. Look at Job chapter 33. We're reading from verse 23. Job chapter 33, verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, something happening, he's sick, he's very near the gates of death, and then somebody comes, a messenger, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. Verse 24. In verse 24, then he is gracious unto him. God is gracious unto him, because an interpreter has interpreted to him the meaning of what is going on in his life, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Verse 25. In verse 25, his flesh shall be fresher than a child's flesh, he shall return to the days of his youth. On the basis of the interpretation, when something is happening to you, you don't know the head or the tail, the meaning or the significance or the reason or the direction from where this is coming. Now the interpretation has come. That helps you to know how to pray, and that helps you to know how to hold on to the promise of God. Then it says, God answers your prayer, and then your flesh will come like the flesh of the child, and he shall return to the days of his youth. Look at verse 26. It says, he shall pray unto God. On the basis of the interpretation, when there was no interpretation, there was confusion and there was perplexity. But now interpretation has come. He shall pray unto God, and it will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. Verse 27, it tells us, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. Verse 28, it says, he shall deliver his soul from going into the pit. That's the treasure, and that is the advantage, and that is the profit of proper interpretation. And his life shall see the light. It tells us in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, reading from verse 30. Acts chapter 8, verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and had him reach the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He read the word, and the meaning was unknown to him. That would be like an unknown language. He speaks, he reads, he hears everything, but he did not understand. Understandest thou what thou readest? Then in verse 31, he says, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 32, it says, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before its shearer, so openeth he not his mouth. In verse 33, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For he, for his life is taken from the earth. That's what he has read. And he could read it over and over and over, and yet he will not understand. Now in verse 34, it says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Do you know why the Pharisees were not saved? They read the scriptures daily. It was like tongues to them, and they didn't have any interpreter. Do you know why the Sadducees were not saved? All through those mighty, powerful ministry of Jesus, they read the scriptures, and they said they believed the scriptures, and the scriptures had been written concerning the Messiah, and the Messiah had now come, and I that speaketh unto you, I am he. But they didn't have interpretation. That's why they perished. That's why they were damned. That's why they crucified the Lord. Because although they read, although they heard, although they saw him, it was like unknown tongue. It was like unknown language unto them, unknown appearance to them. But this man, the same thing, the eunuch of Ethiopia, he read and he said, who is this talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man? Verse 35, in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. and preached unto him Jesus. And it is that interpretation that the passage is talking about. Jesus is the interpretation that brought him to salvation. It's the interpretation of the word we're learning that brings us to salvation, that brings us to redemption, that brings us to the new birth, that brings us to the blessings of heaven, that brings us to all the provision of Calvary. And I pray that the interpretation of the word will move you forward into the depth of the abundance of the provision of Calvary for you, for me, for all of us, in Jesus' name. Did I hear a good amen? Amen. Luke chapter 24, we're reading from verse 44. Luke chapter 24, verse 44, and he said unto them, this Christ talking to his own disciples. These disciples had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Now he died, he was slain, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, and now he rose again. But the disciples still did not fully understand why he was crucified, why he died, why he was buried, why he rose again. And Jesus now came on and gave them the treasure of interpretation. And then they came alive because proper interpretation had now come. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding. Interpreter, opened he their understanding. The treasure come from heaven, opened he their understanding to perceive the truth, that they might understand the scriptures. And then in verse 46, he tells them and says unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. In verse 47, and that repentance and repentance and remission of sins should be preached on in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. And then verse 49, now, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Because of the interpretation that they now understood, it was now clear unto them. Christ was going away. He had opened their eyes of understanding. He had opened their heart. And now he told them the power to now carry out what they had heard, what had been interpreted to them. That power was now given unto them. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. It came because of the interpretation. And I pray that everything in our lives, the Holy Ghost will come to your life. He'll interpret everything to you in Jesus' name. You will not be in the dark anymore. You'll not be in confusion anymore. The way will be clear before you in Jesus' name. And when you read the scriptures, the promises that are meant for you, the prophecies that are meant for you, and all the declarations that are meant for you, the Holy Ghost will interpret unto you. Your life will be better. And your life will go forward in the way of the Lord in Jesus' name. Every dark thing, the Lord will interpret to you. And you will be a better Christian and a more fruitful Christian in Jesus' name. I will be a better Christian, a more fruitful Christian. The Lord fulfill it in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. All that the Lord has revealed, take everything to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord will do good, greater good in your life throughout your days in Jesus' name.